You're listening to SBS News.
In the United States, the bumpy but bipartisan negotiations on a huge COVID-19 relief package are seeing public broadsides exchanged rather than constructive concessions. The enhanced unemployment benefits that came with the last round of federal stimulus have lapsed, leaving 20 million unemployed people at risk of everything from mortgage default to eviction to food insecurity. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi firmly says they have to think big after more than a week's worth of meetings where Capitol Hill negotiators are still stuck. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says Republican claims that welfare benefits encourage people to be work-shy are simply untrue.
They say all these people are staying home because they get more money than if they'd go to work. That is not the American people I know. They want to work. And if they have a job or are offered a job, and with the benefits and with the dignity of work, they take it. But there's 11% unemployment. Not everyone who wants to work can get to work. So it's not that they're staying home because they're lazy. I mean, that's a very harsh view of American workers. They're staying home because they don't have a job.
Meanwhile, dozens of Michigan teachers chanted and waved signs during a rally at the state capitol designed to bring attention to the danger of schools reopening for in-person learning in the autumn. President Trump says schools should reopen because he claims children are virtually immune to the coronavirus. Michigan teacher Mackenzie Sato told the crowd, teachers want to return to school to be safe for everyone. Otherwise, learning should continue online.
So here's my big question. What's the acceptable body count? I'm really asking. In order to send us completely virtual for the beginning of the year, how many people need to die? How many people need to contract this virus when we could significantly reduce the infection of our communities, of our staff, of our teachers, of our students, if we were to be online?
The World Health Organization has asked the United States to review its decision to withdraw support from the global group over coronavirus complaints. The U.S. departure from the UN health body won't take effect until next year, but President Donald Trump has previously criticized the WHO's response to the pandemic. WHO Director General Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus says he appreciates the generosity of the U.S. and the relationship between the two is crucial.
The leaders always have been countries, and especially the major ones, who can bring the whole world together. So that is more important for WHO. The void, not the financial. And we hope the US will reconsider its position.
The Philippines has overtaken Indonesia with the most coronavirus infections in Southeast Asia. The daily tally of cases of COVID-19 has jumped by more than 3,500, bringing the country's total to 119,460. The economy has slumped by 16.5% in the second quarter, the worst contraction on record in decades. Father Hans Magdurelang says faith is helping his community.
We cannot just wait for the vaccine. They said that the solution is already available. Discipline is very available for all of us. That is the first, I think, after prayer and faith, discipline is very important for us to survive from this pandemic.
More than 2,000 COVID-19 deaths have also been recorded in the Philippines. In Japan, Tokyo Governor Yuriko Koike has called upon residents in the city to refrain from travelling outside the capital as Japan is entering the Obon holidays, during which Japanese families customarily visit their parents in their hometowns. Tokyo stopped short of declaring an emergency, but Ms. Koike says the city stands ready if needed.
大切な人、大切なご家族、医療現場を守るためにも
To protect your loved ones, family and medical fields, please consider this summer as special and refrain from traveling, going back to hometowns, or dining out at night. Please refrain from traveling far. I'm saying this because this summer is special.
Scientists at Imperial College London say they are immunising hundreds of people with an experimental coronavirus vaccine in an early trial after seeing no worrying safety problems in those vaccinated so far. The vaccine uses synthetic strands of genetic code based on the virus. Once injected into the muscle, the body's own cells are instructed to make copies of a spiky protein on the coronavirus. That should, in turn, trigger an immune response so the body can fight off any future COVID-19 infection. Dr. Katrina Pollock, Senior Clinical Research Fellow in Vaccinology and Chief Investigator on the Imperial College Vaccine Trials, says they're breaking new ground.
This is a time of unprecedented vaccine research across the globe and a move to do, I think, two things. One is to get a COVID vaccine, but also to move the frontiers of vaccine research forward so we can have better, safer vaccines that we can develop more quickly. We're seeing both of those things happening at the same time. I think it's likely that we're going to need more than one vaccine. We may need different types of vaccines for different ages, for example. The obvious paradigm for that would be the flu vaccine. We'd give different vaccines to different ages in this country. And it's a rapidly evolving situation. So it's one that we're all keeping our eye on, and it's great to be involved in this research.
Finally, in Singapore, citizens are being warned to observe social distancing at all times because Big Brother actually is watching you. The city state's police have been testing two pilotless drones developed by Israel's Aerobotics to help enforce social distancing measures aimed at containing the spread of COVID-19. The small machines weigh 10 kilograms and are programmed to track anomalies such as gatherings and stream footage to the police. Aerobotics founder and CEO Ron Krause says the drones can pinpoint locations that might not be visible to police officers on foot or in vehicles.
It's very helpful to have a tool that's there when you need it on demand within a couple of seconds, and that provides the three-dimensional aspect or view of what you're looking at. So I think it helps them a lot, not only with emergency response applications, but also with normal operations. So if a police officer needs to get somewhere and you can send the drone instead, obviously that's very helpful to them.
Mr. Krause says Aerobotics is in talks with other cities to deploy the drones. And you can stay up to date on coronavirus in your language at sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Alan Lee, SBS News.